Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
And well, hello there, I'm Kate Spencer.
And neither of us is an expert.
Definitely not.
Nope.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
This is true. How you doing, Kate?
Dori. Hey.
Hey.
I think I'm good.
Yeah?
I don't know. I'm dealing with some chronic back pain.
Oh no, you and my husband both.
Yeah, and I finally realized like I think I need to get an MRI.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been going on for like almost 2 years.
Oh, that is a long
and
time.
And I've just been like putting up with it as normal, and
yeah.
Then recently I was like, this isn't normal.
Mm.
I've got to get this checked out. I don't know.
Who do you talk to about that?
I'm going to see my primary care doctor
okay.
to then ask for a referral.
Got it.
My insurance, I have to like go see that this doctor first and then get referred out for everything. So
Got it.
That's my plan. We'll see what they say. I've tried many things. Forever 35 listeners have given me many suggestions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That being said, today someone recommended Rolfing.
Oh.
As a self-care practice for back pain.
And for those of us who might not be familiar with Rolfing.
I'm not entirely sure what it is as I've never done it, but I believe it is kind of an adjustment of your posture and your center of gravity.
Okay.
I don't believe it's chiropractic work. I think it's like a fascia body work situation.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I'm always down for some
fascia
work. So I've just been kind of, actually I've been kind of depressed about it actually because I don't feel good.
Yeah.
And I can't, like physically, I can't do as much stuff. And that just bums me out.
Yeah, that is a bummer.
Like even just bending over to unpack my suitcase from this weekend, I'm like, I just can't do it. Again.
Where'd you go this weekend?
Dori, I went into the woods.
Uh-huh.
And you were there.
I know. Asking you where you were was disingenuous.
No,
I know exactly where you
were. It was a great segue. You and I went on a retreat with a group of moms, mostly moms, and it was really beautiful. It was refreshing, reinvigorating, at times terrifying. You know, you just are out of your comfort zone. But it was really fun.
Yeah.
That being said, I had to take a nap the following day.
Yeah.
Because I was so tired from camping in the woods.
I mean, camping. We were in cabins.
Yes.
With bathrooms.
It was a luxurious situation. It's the kind of place where like school groups or retreat groups go.
Yes.
But, you know, there was a ropes course activity. I took a yoga class. I took a crystal workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what was kind of fun?
Like, what?
You and I didn't see each other that much.
No, we didn't.
Not fun in like a positive way, but it was like we were at the same thing, but we were not attached at the hip.
Yes.
Which so often we are because of this podcast.
Totally.
And it was kind of... We were not in the same cabin. Mm-hmm. You were very busy organizing a clothing swap.
I was. Yeah. Which was fun. And I got a lot of great clothes for Henry. And I got a few nice things for myself.
I got a serum.
Yeah. It was a clothing and beauty swap. And boy, there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot.
I got two hair clips and an Eminence Willow Bark serum that I've always wanted to try.
Well, look at that. The universe provided.
I stood at the skincare swap area and like shouted products at people. I did feel like an expert for kind of the first time in my life about skincare stuff from this podcast.
Well, there's some nice stuff.
Such nice stuff. And I was like, who needs a vitamin C? I was kind of losing. I was a little hyper. Did you kind of not learn anything, but was it nice to get out of your comfort zone and get out of your home and just spend time in the fresh air?
It was. It was nice to do all of those things. I think that it was a little overwhelming for me. Mm-hmm. This was your second year going.
Yes.
This is my first year going. So, you know, I didn't know a lot of the people IRL, which is fine. I think like large groups of new people, it's an intimidating situation.
It's very overwhelming.
And I also had to pump like every 3 hours, which just kind of, it's just like a thing I had to think about all the time.
And it takes you out of whatever moment you're in.
Yes. So it's like every 3 hours I have to pump. And then for like 20 minutes I'm pumping. Then I have to think about, did I bring a bag with me to store the milk in? Where's the fridge? Like, do I have to go back to my cabin, which is up a steep hill and we're at altitude? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It was just like another thing. And so, you know, I think if I go next year, it will be nice that I hopefully won't still be pumping. And I'll be able to like relax a little bit more. Yeah. But no, it was really nice. I played in a poker tournament.
Love it.
Which was really fun. I met some people there.
Did you win?
Well, you could either play for money or not for money.
Okay.
Of course I played for money because
of course.
Otherwise, what's the point? And there were three tables of people playing, and the organizer hadn't quite done it the way that like a normal poker tournament would work. So at the end, you were kind of just playing against the other people at your table who were playing for money. So there was only one other person at my table who's playing for money, and I happened to beat her. So I won $20.
Hey, not bad.
Look at that.
I've
been doing really badly. And then I split a pot with someone. There was like one hand that I won that someone else had the same hand, and we split the pot.
Way to go.
Thank you, Kate.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I was like tired though. Like there was a dance party the first night. I didn't go to that.
I didn't do karaoke.
And so I felt like I missed out on some of the funness of it, but you know, I had the retreat that I was meant to have.
Well, I was feeling very introverted, and I brought like, you know, I kind of just wanted to sleep and rest, and I loved the idea of getting up early. And so I kind of just went inward a little bit.
Yeah.
But I did bring my sound machine, my travel humidifier, my earplugs, my eye mask, two of my own pillows from home, my baby blanket that I was like, I feel like I've become that person who like can't sleep anywhere else but without all their trappings of home.
Well, I brought a pillow, my own pillow, and I brought earplugs and an eye mask. So, you know, I'm kind of right there with you.
Did you travel humidify?
I did not. And I saw that you were bringing yours before we left. And I was like, should I bring mine? And I was like, oh, I don't know what the outlet situation is going to be like. But then I subsequently wished I had brought it. Because the air was so dry.
It was so dry. And, you know, now I'm getting credit in the group for being the person who brings travel humidifiers everywhere.
I know, but thank you. You gave me credit.
I did give you credit, but people are like, look at this amazing thing Kate Spencer did. And I had to like begrudgingly admit that Dory thought of it first. Dory is the original travel humidifier purchaser. Dory, one thing that I have been circling back to my back pain.
Yes.
And I have been, you know, I'm a certified yoga teacher that does not teach yoga, but
I know that.
I got my teacher certification 10 years ago. And I have been thinking one thing that really does help my back pain is stretching. Mm-hmm. So inspired by friend of the pod, Jasmine Guillory, who's now on day like 702 of yoga every day. I've never seen anything like it. It's truly inspirational. I was thinking like, what if I practiced yoga every night for 30 days and took stock of how it improved the feeling, my back and just my general well-being. So today will be day two.
Are you doing yoga with Adrian?
I did yoga with Adrian last night, which was really great. And I did a specific lower back pain class that was like 23 Ooh. Minutes. Oh, back pain and pelvis, because my pelvis is a little off balance. But also Peloton has yoga classes and they're really great. So I've done those too. So I'm going to, they have like restorative, they have everything. But I pay for a Peloton membership. Mm-hmm. There's tons of free yoga content online, and yoga with Adrian's especially good. So my thought is just to, like, every night it feels really good to kind of stretch out. You know, I put my phone away in the kitchen, which was very hard for me. And then I went and did yoga, just tried to get in kind of a calming mindset before bed. So my thought is, like, what if I could do that for 30 days? Do my own little challenge.
Wait, I kind of want to do that with you.
Do you?
Yeah.
We could be accountability buddies.
Because I've been thinking about how I haven't had time to go to a yoga class in months. And it would be really nice to start doing yoga again.
And you really, you know, even just 10 to 15 minutes of very basic yoga poses, I have found makes such a difference in how my body feels.
Totally.
And I need to make a commitment to kind of caring for myself in that way.
Interesting.
I mean, I'll check in with you tonight when I settle in.
Yeah, would you?
Sure.
That would be great.
After my kids are in bed, I roll out the mat in my room, just go to town. We'll see if it works. I mean, I would love to be consistent with it. And I remember Jasmine saying, she was the second or third guest on our podcast? Third, I think.
Yeah.
And at the time she said she noticed that the consistent yoga every day improved her back pain, made it feel better.
Yeah. And then when she came back and did a mini episode, I believe we talked about how she had gone to her college reunion and she like felt so much better than she had felt before or something. There was something about the college reunion and yoga and feel her body feeling so much better.
So let her be our inspiration. She also has a new book out.
She's inspirational in many ways. Yeah, I'm excited for her new book, Royal Holiday.
I know, I'm saving it for vacation, which is my favorite thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Totally.
I actually saved her last book for I tend to just save her books. So when I'm like, sitting in one spot, I can just devour.
Yeah.
Maybe with a martini.
Oh, sounds great.
Dory.
Yes.
We got so many emails.
Oh my gosh.
Titled The World of Lentils.
So many. It was such a treat.
There are so many fellow lentil explorers out there.
I know. I was so pleased. I was chuffed.
That's a word only you would use. Chuffed.
Or British people. British people use that
word.
That's
fair.
Yeah, I was so excited to get all these lentil recipes. I can't wait to go deeper into the world of lentils. I just want to share some of the ones that people shared that looked amazing. I have not tried any of these yet, but I'm excited to dive in. The first one is a smoky tomato and lentil stew made with cooked coconut milk.
That sounds delish.
It looked delish. Another one is a chipotle pumpkin veggie burgers made with lentils. There's another that is a very veggie lentil bake. It's just like a casserole with lentils. Lots of cheese. It looked really good. There was a vegan winter lentil stew on the Budget Bites website.
Love Budget Bites.
Someone else recommended a vegan lentil fesenjoon, which is a Persian dish that also looked
yum,
so good. And then there was a recommendation from the New York Times website for spiced red lentils, an Indian dish. And I bought some red lentils today.
That's right, because you are keen on exploring all the different kinds of lentils.
I am, and I gotta say, I've been slightly disappointed in my neighborhood grocery store, which is Sprouts. They only carry two types of lentils, green and red. No black.
Ew. I look down on them.
I'm gonna have to like go to Whole Foods or something, which requires getting in the car. But I'm really excited to try some of these. And this is literally just the tip of the iceberg.
I saved a recipe for lentil sloppy joes recently, which my kids love sloppy joes. And we made them for dinner and they were very good, but we made them with meat.
Oh.
How would that go over with lentils? I don't know.
Only time will tell.
I'm curious to find out.
I'm really excited about this. So it's great. Is anything else going on with you?
Well, something is.
Yes.
Which is that I kind of want to get certified in Reiki.
You know, Kate, I read this in our notes and I was like, wow, this is a real Kate Spencer.
It is, isn't it?
Activity.
It is. Look. And then I wrote, am I going full woo? Question mark. Unclear.
I mean, maybe you're just becoming the full, like, actualization of your true self.
I am very interested in body work and energetic healing.
Okay.
And Reiki is a form of energy healing. Mm-hmm. The training is relatively manageable. It's like one, there's three different levels and it's affordable and time-wise is pretty manageable.
Can you do Reiki on yourself?
You can. Okay. And you can also, when you're trained, you can do long distance Reiki on people.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've never done Reiki.
Oh, it's fantastic. It feels amazing. The first time I had it done, I was very skeptical. And it was such a positive experience.
Cool.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's just something that as I think more about, like, I'm kind of just revisiting my yoga practice and thinking more about body work. And I recently picked up one of my favorite books about chakras. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of dipping a toe back in.
I'm really into this for you.
A common phrase.
I just like when you're like, I'm going to get into this thing. And then, like, I just like to check in with you about how it's all going.
I just have been thinking a lot about my interest in, like, body work and physical.
Would you ever become, like, a massage therapist?
No, that does not appeal to me.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Touching people's bodies does not mm-hmm. appeal mm-hmm. to me. But doing, like, Reiki and yoga adjustments on people does appeal to me. That was one of my favorite things about teaching yoga, was doing hands-on adjustments.
Cool.
And I love restorative yoga, and I really believe in the power of, like, gentle adjustments in those poses. So, yeah. You know, look, I'm 40. I want to ride into middle and upper age just fucking healing the shit out of myself and other people.
Yes, Kate, yes.
That's where I'm at, Dory. We'll see. We'll see how far I get, but something I'm thinking about. I did some Googling over the weekend.
Okay, great.
You know?
Wow. The weekend really had an effect on you.
I mean, I spent 2 hours learning about crystal healing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which I've always been also a bit of a skeptic about.
But now you believe.
I will say, Dory, I could feel the heat and the energy rising off of the crystals that we were practicing with in this workshop.
Wow.
Okay. Now, is it all placebo? Possibly. But I was intrigued. And okay. Any practice that is meditative, like the placing, like any, I think anything that is like chess, like there's so many ways in which things can kind of become like a calming rhythmic practice.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I actually also had a calming practice experience over the weekend.
What was it?
Doing a puzzle.
Yeah. Oh, puzzles are so meditative and calming. Yes. For some people.
Yeah. And, you know, I remembered that there was this brief period, maybe last year, I was like, I'm going to get into puzzles. And I bought a couple puzzles and then I never did them. And now I'm thinking, I need to do them.
I mean,
I don't have any room to do them.
No, puzzles are tricky. You really need like a firm space mm-hmm. to spread out. But you could make room, or you could do it outside.
Oh, interesting. I could do it outside. I could move,
kind of have like a patio area,
all of Matt's crap off of the table outside.
It's time for Dory's puzzle workshop.
It's time for Dory's puzzle workshop to take a stand.
Weasel its way into the space.
I got to plant a flag.
I don't find puzzles soothing. Mm-hmm. It's not how my mind works. But I have many friends who do, and mm-hmm. who will do them mm-hmm. alone, like just sit at night and work on a puzzle.
Yeah.
And really, that is healing for them. I mean, that's how my husband is with a crossword. Mm. Every day he does a crossword.
Wow.
Every day, New York Times crossword every
wow.
morning. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think
I feel like knitting could be like this for me too.
Totally.
And there was a period in my life where I knew how to knit, and then it just all kind of disappeared.
I mean, that's why I think like sewing, painting, like any yeah. of these practices that kind of take you out of your headspace a little bit.
Yes.
It's really soothing.
My friend was telling me that she's gotten into like coloring on her iPad.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like with a pen. And you know, Matt does that too. He draws on his iPad. I don't. It's very meditative.
I mean, that's why coloring books are great.
Yeah, totally.
I've been making friendship bracelets and I have found that to be kind of soothing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are your soothing practices, listeners?
I was
listeners?
Just going to ask.
Aren't you curious?
Yes, I am curious.
I bet we have a lot of puzzle heads is what they're called.
I bet we have a lot of puzzle heads. But I know we have a lot of people who are into like knitting and crochet
yeah.
and embroidery and sewing and crafts.
I would
like
love
that.
To hear what's your meditative practice that you yeah. do for no outcome. Just to relax.
Yeah. Let us know.
Let us know. Well, Doria, let's take a pause.
Let's do that. And then we're going to come back and hear from Allison Rosen. And oh, I really enjoyed talking to her.
Yeah, we had such a great conversation with her. Yeah. She's just so fantastic.
So
we'll be back. Stay tuned.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use. And I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, Dory, we talk to a lot of really fantastic, intelligent people on this podcast, but I don't know, maybe you're like us and you want to go even deeper.
I'd love to go deeper.
We like to go deep. And that's not only possible with today's sponsor, but also easy to accomplish on Masterclass. Every year I get really into the classes offered and the instructors offering them. Like, I'm all over the place with the things that I like on Masterclass. But this year I am very interested in the class Redefining Feminism, which is 14 lessons from Gloria Steinem.
Okay.
Now, they dissect issues women face in the U.S. and ways we can play a role in the feminist movement in our everyday lives. Look, I majored in women and gender studies in college, so this is right up my alley. But even if you didn't, even if you're like, this is the first time I'm hearing those words.
I would argue, especially if you didn't.
Yes. Get into it with Masterclass, because this is the year you can really learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Go from just talking about improving to actually doing the things you've been wanting to do with Masterclass. And it doesn't have to be redefining feminism with Gloria Steinem. It can be gardening in your own garden or your yard or patio. It can be learning to cook Indian food or designing a space that you love. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master like negotiation with Chris Voss, or think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or maybe capture your vision through photography with Petra Collins, Masterclass has you covered. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
Our guest today is the one and only Allison Rosen. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are so excited to have you on Forever 35. We are both longtime fans. Mm. We've been on your podcast.
Yes. I'm doing a weird happy dance with excitement over here.
Kate's doing a weird happy dance.
I love it, though. Not enough people do that.
Like more no weird happy dances.
No, well, you know, podcast is a audio medium.
Nope.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't necessarily physically express yourself when you do it, but I'm really feeling it. Allison, let's tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Please.
Allison Rosen is a writer, a TV personality, and a podcaster, best known for her podcast, Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend, as well as being the former news girl and co-host of The Adam Carolla Show. Her work has appeared in Rolling Stone, People, 17, Elle, The New York Post, Vibe, Spin, The Huffington Post, and Bon Appetit, among others. She released a book in April 2018 called Tropical Attire Encouraged and Other Phrases That Scare Me, and is the co-host of the parenting podcast Childish with Greg Fitzsimmons. And Allison currently resides in Burbank, California, with her husband, two children, and a dog. And she always gets lost, even though she has GPS.
It's true.
And I think that's a very relatable conundrum for many people.
It's gotten better with Waze, I have to say. I think that when that fun tidbit was included in my bio originally, that was like maybe pre-Waze. Mm. I feel like GPS has come a long way, because remember there was, did you guys have I think it was called a Garmin, or there was some other like navigation little thing, and they just weren't as good.
I didn't have a car, but whenever I would rent a car, they would ask if you wanted a GPS.
Right.
And that was like, you know, the little thing that stuck on your...
My father-in-law still, when he comes out to visit with my mother-in-law, they bring their Garmin.
Oh.
Yeah, and they use that as opposed to just like using their phones. I think it's just what's most, because they drive our cars when they're
right.
here.
So I mean, I respect that.
You know what? It works for them.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad doesn't have any sort of GPS, and he just gets lost or uses...
Does he have a Thomas Guide?
I'm sure he does, or just maps crumpled up into pockets of the car.
Remember having to print out MapQuest directions?
I mean, just remember maps in general.
Oh, wow. RIP maps.
I truly think a sense of direction is something you either have or you don't. Like my son, Elliot, who's 2.5, he'll be in the car and he'll point in the direction of his preschool, or he'll point in the direction of like just various things he's aware of.
Oh my gosh.
He knows. Whereas I never, like, not at all. I don't know what it is. I think, and it's taken me a while to realize this, I kind of think it might just be a manifestation of, well, first of all, I think I'm just in general, I don't have like a bird's eye view in my mind, mm-hmm. but I also think it's kind of a manifestation of anxiety in that I am maybe just, like if I were just calm and like I'm just driving around, I'm looking for an address, I'm looking for a parking spot. That's how I imagine a non-anxious person going through their life. Whereas my thoughts are just, it's just faster, and I'm just more nervous about things, and I'm worried, and like it just feels like too much to like, I got to find the place, and then I got to find the parking spot, and then I'm thinking about what's going to happen when I get in there, and I don't know.
What is your relationship to your anxiety? Is that something you're struggling with every day? Is it a large part of your life?
It's up and down. I had this idea that basically either you're a person who tends toward depression or tends toward anxiety. Because I think I heard that like, oh, they're two sides of the same coin, but I don't know where I got this in my head that you're one or the other. And so there's a lot of anxiety in my family, but I never really thought I had anxiety. I thought I'm someone who tends toward depression, but the, like, yes, I've had maybe a panic attack, but I don't think of myself as anxious. And then when I got into therapy after, so I had post, I had a really, we, I think we actually talked about this when you guys were on my show. I had a real traumatic birth with Elliot. It was tough. And I realized that what I was experiencing was a little more intense than like quote unquote baby blues, probably about 5 months after he was born. Mm. That's when I finally, I'm like, I need to talk to someone. And I had,
what made you realize that?
So I was having a lot of dark thoughts, and it sounds so silly, but all of a sudden a question would pop into my mind, like, what happened to babies that were born in the Holocaust? And then I'd be like, don't Google that. It's gonna fuck you guys curse on this podcast. Yeah, yeah. It's gonna fuck you up if you could, like, don't Google that. And then I just have this like uncontrollable compulsion to Google it. So that was one. And then another was like, do medical schools still experiment on dogs? And if so, where do they get the dogs? And it's like, don't research that. And it was just sort of a series of things like that throughout mm-hmm. the day. I would think about the fragility of life and of babies that don't get the care they need. And I didn't have any thoughts of harming my own mm-hmm. children, which I think I had this idea that postpartum depression is what you read about in People magazine, and it's where you are. And I think in severe cases, it is like that.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any of that. But so I was just like, I'm over. And also, I would be singing to Elliot and I would just start crying. So I just felt sad. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the world is a cruel place, and I'm on this little island where I'm okay and my family's okay, but who knows how long we'll be safe. Mm. It was, but I think, I don't know. I think at just a certain point, I'm just like, I'm so sad. I don't need to be this sad.
Yeah.
And I think I recognized that the thoughts were a little bit compulsive. So I found a therapist who specializes in postpartum women. And I actually still see her. She's great. And some, a couple of my friends see her now too. I got on Lexapro. I had never been on anything, and I had always been hesitant to get on anything as mm-hmm. well. But I was so ready to feel better that I kind of knew that was probably I probably should go on something. And then in seeing her, I realized, oh, I've had anxiety my whole life. I just like never recognized it. But I think back and it's so rare that I could just, and it's weirdly around driving a lot. It's so rare that I can just like park my car and calmly walk into the place I'm going to go. I'm always, not currently, but in the past, I would always be sort of nervous walking around. And I don't know what it is. I know in college, by the way, I have not taken a breath, and I've not let you guys weigh in. I feel like I'm just like, blah, blah, blah.
No,
this, you're the podcast guest.
Okay.
That's what you do.
All right. In college, my friend, I was in the back seat of his car. He was pumping gas and he got held up by this guy with a meat cleaver. And I saw the whole thing.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was very dramatic.
And traumatic.
Yes. Yeah. But also like it was very extra. A meat cleaver. Really? It was like out of a movie.
Yeah. Right.
So, I thought the guy was going to come in the car, and I like make eye contact with him.
Oh my God.
And he didn't. Instead, he just ran off, but it really traumatized me for a long, long time after that. So I think that is part of where the just feeling uncomfortable in my own skin in public thing mm-hmm. came from.
Can we circle back to Lexapro?
Yes.
Can you talk, because we get a lot of questions about medication and going on it and what's it like. And I'm curious, how has it impacted your life? What are the changes that you noticed? How did you benefit? Was there anything that you felt wasn't positive?
So when I went to therapy, when I was having postpartum depression, and then when I told her that I think, you know, maybe I should get on something, and then she referred me to a psychiatrist who deals with postpartum women as well. I began to feel, and so I got on Lexapro pretty quickly, just a tiny dose, and I began to feel better pretty quickly. And I wondered, is this the drug that's making me feel better, or is it just that I'm getting help and I feel supported? So I don't know, because really the like extreme feelings that I was having really abated pretty quickly. But I just, let me think. A weird thing I noticed is that even though I didn't suddenly feel like there's sunshine beaming inside my brain or anything, but I noticed that I was just singing to my kids more. I was singing more. Like I was like from the outside looking in, I appear to be a happier person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I was drowning anymore. I felt like the world can be an okay, safe place. I mean, it took time to get there, and there was also a lot of talk therapy too, but I just, it's sort of all the cliches. It's like I had been thrown a life raft. You know, I just, in general, I find that I am more okay. I feel more okay all the time. And the reason I had been afraid to get on it is because I'm like, I don't want my personality to change. I don't know. You know, it's such an antiquated way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm afraid to be a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually my dad who said to me, think of it more like the way when you have a headache, if you take Advil, the headache goes away. It's like, it just kind of takes, like you're still you. It just kind of takes the, and then my psychiatrist really looks at it like the, you know, I think he would refer to it as like the disease of depression.
Mm-hmm.
It just like takes the disease of depression away or takes the edges off of it.
Right.
So, what I don't like about it is that in general, and I have been on, I'm like now at like a lower, so, well, I'll get to that in a sec. I think it makes me tired. That's kind of the only thing I would say that's negative about it. I did have some stomach pain at the beginning. So I just took Zantac, which now has been recalled, and now I'm like, oh, great.
Yes. I know. It just got recalled.
I'm freaked out about that.
Me too.
I'm more like, should I be freaked out about that?
Right.
I've taken a lot of Zantac in my lifetime.
I want to talk about being a fellow old mom.
Yes.
Because you had both of your kids after turning 40.
Yeah, I had Elliot at 41 and I had Owen at 43.
So I had Henry at 41. And, you know, for the most part, I don't feel like different. Mm-hmm. But then like there are times when I like look around my like mommy and me class and I'm like, oh, everyone here is like at least 10 years younger than
me.
Yes,
yes.
So how do you like navigate this?
I've made some good friends. I'm still tight. I would say I've made a good friend from all of that.
Okay.
But I think I forget how old she is. She might be like 12 years younger than I am. And it's weird to think, but I feel like we're equals
totally.
In the
and
mom
like,
stuff.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Like it's fine. But then there are these times when I'm like, oh, right. All these women are younger than me. And it just sort of hits me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like know what to do with those feelings.
It is weird to look around and realize you're the oldest one in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just feel sort of weird and old.
Yeah.
And then I think like, what would I be like if I had been in this room 10 years? I was a different person then.
Totally.
Yeah. And I was not ready to have kids then.
No, neither was I.
Like you, I did IVF.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm really happy that I had, I mean, first of all, I feel very lucky that I was able to have my kids. I think I had them at the right time for me.
Mm-hmm.
However, I, just to go back to the fatigue thing, like,
yeah,
I feel like I definitely don't, I cannot handle not getting sleep.
Yeah.
Now the way that I could have, I think if I had had my kids, like say when my mom had them,
because
I know that I could easily pull an all nighter in my 20s.
Totally.
I hit a point where I stopped taking red eyes because I remember I took a red eye to New York and I felt like I don't really feel safe walking around in this state. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm so out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have my wits about me. So I just cannot recover from lack of sleep well anymore. So I think it's the energy thing that's not there.
Yeah.
But, other than that, I will say this. I found that I didn't easily volunteer my age.
Yep,
I think because
same.
I felt like I didn't want to be that weird old lady.
I know. And then I'm like, ugh, like somehow this goes back to the patriarchy.
Yes.
You know?
But then there's also, does this ever occur to you? Which is, wait a minute. I thought we were all having our kids late in LA because we're focusing on our careers.
Same.
There's standing room only in the IVF room. So how did I end up in a mommy and me group with all these early 30 people who just had their kids naturally?
Yes. Yes. I've had the exact same thoughts.
There should be a special mommy and me for us geriatric moms.
There 100% should be. Yeah. Let's start it.
Make okay. it. You Let's should it. Honestly make it.
Yeah, we should.
We really should.
Yeah. So how do you feel?
I mean, most of the time I don't think about it. And then like something will happen or someone will say something and I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm older than all of you. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, like not to get dark, but like sometimes I get really sad about it because I'm like, well, I'm not going to have as much time with my kid.
My husband, that's a constant refrain from him. I don't worry about it as much. I think I'm like more one day at a time, mm-hmm. but he is like all the time worried about not having enough time with the kids. And he jokes about, we got to, you know, like as much as we got married and had kids late, we got to convince them that the thing you do is you do it in your 20s, early 20s.
Yes.
So we can have grandkids.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm like, if I have grandkids.
Right.
Like, I'll be real old when that happens. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Or I might not be alive. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yes,
or
you
might live till 110. Or I might till 110. I don't know. I didn't mean to take this to a dark place. But
no, these are all things that we think, though.
Yeah,
I got pregnant young because of my mom dying.
Yeah.
Where I was like, well, my mom died. I got to get to it.
Yeah.
Did I make it too dark?
No.
No.
And I had my kids in like 30, or early 30s. 31 and 33.
And you were living in New York when you had your first kid.
Yeah. In a one bedroom apartment.
And did you feel, I feel like we've talked about this. Like, I feel like you've said you felt young.
Yes, because I was around women in their 40s right, like right. you.
Yeah.
Right. My mommy and me's were all that. Like, right. I think you also just tend, when you're in any situation, you're like, I want to find someone whose experience is most like mine. So you
yes.
then notice when you feel even the least bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and now also now I, you know, with my kids at their school, there are definitely parents who are 10 years older than me with kids in the same grade and younger.
Right.
I mean, it's just everybody's,
right.
who knows? Everyone's lives are different. But I think a specific group for women who had their kids over 40 is really
well. I tried to find that on Facebook because there's all these, you know, birth month groups on Facebook. Did you join any of those?
I did not. I joined a couple Facebook groups, but none of.
So I joined one that was for moms over 35 who were having babies in like March and April. The problem I found with that group is that a lot of these moms were on their like sixth child.
Yeah, that's totally different.
Or they'd be like, I have one kid who's 22 and now I'm having another. And I was like, oh, this is not my experience. So I literally put into like the Facebook search bar, moms over 40, like first child, and like nothing came up.
I'm surprised it didn't just show you me.
Because yeah, that is a totally different experience than someone who like started having kids at like 20 and now is having, you know, another kid very like to them late, quote unquote.
Kate, did you feel like that was the right time for you?
I mean, it's certainly, I think when people talk about like waiting until they're financially ready, no, you know, like we couldn't afford, you know, like a child, my childcare options were limited by what I could afford. There was I remember a preschool or a daycare I wanted to send our daughter to that was like, we couldn't, it was too expensive. Yeah, I mean, I do feel okay about it now. It was definitely hard and it was a weird time of my career where when I was on my maternity leave, I wanted to be at work so badly. And I felt like I was missing out on opportunities. It was like when my career was really taking off in a way that excited me. And I was with other people who didn't want to go back to work. You know, it's just everyone is in a different place in that whole experience also. And we also don't make it easy for parents to go back to work. So it's hard for everybody. But yeah, I mean, I don't like, what is the answer? I don't know. I'm fortunate that I had my kids. I do think I would be very tired now if I was getting up 5 times a night like I was with my babe when my kids when they were babies. Mm-hmm. That being said, you know, now I have a tween and that's weird. So
So who knows?
Who knows?
Mike, in conclusion.
In conclusion, you like life is fucking weird. And I also like the thing, you know, I remember feeling very strongly that I wanted to have children because I didn't know how much time I would have with my kids. And my mom died when she was 56. But then it's like, who again? I could keel over tomorrow. Mm. You know, like, so there truly is like, I also feel like after all that, like, what if I just, you know, like a lamp falls on my head?
Right.
You know, it's just like, who knows? And that's what frustrates me about life, is because you ultimately have zero control over any of this. Yeah, I hate it too.
I don't like that at all.
That gives me deep anxiety.
But with, did you think that because your mom died at 56, there's a good chance you were going to die young as well? And so therefore you got to get on it.
Yes. 100%. And the closer the older I get, the more I can't believe how young my mom was when she died.
Yeah.
Because I now have friends who are in their 50s and I'm like, what? That would be is mind boggling. You know, I'm 40. So yeah, blows my mind. So yeah, I still feel that way. And I talked to a lot of people who have lost parents of illness specifically. And I think there's constantly that ticking countdown in your head of like, well, I'm going at this time. Mm-hmm. And then I think when you pass the age, if you live past the age where a parent died, that also feels very, very weird, I think, for people. So
yeah.
Yes, I do have a constant countdown clock in my head that I will die the same way my mom died at the same age. I mean, I also wonder if so many of my self-care practices are just revolving around preventing death. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we really get to the core of it, it's like a fear of aging, a trying to preserve ourselves so that we don't die. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think at its core, fear of aging or looking old, quote unquote, is fear of death, right?
Mm. I try to figure that out. That actually came up in therapy because I was saying that not super recently. I feel like I've accepted it more, but I was saying like, I saw a picture of myself. I don't look young. And my therapist is like, and is that a bad thing? I'm like, fuck yeah.
But I'm thinking about that a lot these days too. Not with my own face.
Yeah. I mean, it's that like that teasing out of, well, how much is it the fear of, of death? And how much is it that, look, we all are sort of, you know, breathing in the same air. I don't know why I'm trying to make this poetic. I'll just say it much more plainly.
Sounds beautiful.
Thank you. We're all, culture does not encourage looking your age.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's also like a dejection, rejection. Like you are, we reject older people in our society. So there's a feeling of like being unseen and left out that I think comes with age, which is why I wonder if we're holding on to the physical, you know, like the looks aspect of youth so deeply.
Well, you know, Kate, you've helped me reframe my narrative around aging.
Have I?
Yes. Talking about your mom dying young and talking about how aging is a privilege.
Oh.
Yeah. That has like really helped me.
What? Yeah. I want to adopt this.
Because it is. It's a privilege to get older.
It is.
Right?
I think so.
It is.
Yeah. No,
like,
I think
we don't all have that. We don't all get that. And so those of us who do get it, like, it's a privilege and we should be grateful for that.
Well, this is why I'm like trying to gently love my forehead wrinkles.
I just saw it was an Instagram story. And for the first time, my eyes just zeroed in on my forehead wrinkles. I'd never cared about them before. And suddenly I'm like, what? When did this part of my head get way too tan repeatedly or something? Because there's like, it just looked, sorry, cut you off.
I want to hear about your forehead wrinkles.
Well,
which I can't see from 2 feet away from you. They don't.
I feel like I've got these, it's sort of like where the shower cap would go. And actually when I do wear a shower cap, that is where I get the lines. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. I just thought I look like I have like weather beaten, leathery forehead wrinkles.
I mean, this is where we're all headed.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Does it bother you?
Well, my first reaction was, oh no. Oh no. I didn't know I had that problem happening on my face. I have to do something about that. Which tends to be my reaction anytime I recognize something that strikes me as old.
Mm-hmm. And then it's a problem.
Yes. And it's an oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. I didn't know that this aspect of me was belying my age, you know? And then I kind of calmed down like very fast. I mean, it happens quickly. And I was just like, oh, well, you know, it's so be it.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
That being said, have you tried retinols or Retin-A? I've never used any of that stuff, and I'm just starting to think maybe I should get into that.
Whenever I try it, I just kind of give up on it. So, no.
I mean, I used Retin-A as a teenager.
Prescription Retin-A, right?
Yes, for zits. And then I didn't... I was using a retinol serum, and then I got pregnant, and you're not supposed to use retinols when you're pregnant, and I haven't gone back yet. But I wanted to... I did want to touch on a more superficial topic, which is your hair.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All the products you're now putting on your face.
Oh, thank you.
Your hair is like shiny and beautiful and long. What are your secrets?
Yeah. Thank you. Do you bathe in collagen?
Yes. I bathe with an actual drunk elephant. I get Japanese straightening. I have naturally fuzzy, frizzy, wavy hair. I have not seen my natural curls in a long time, except there is regrowth, and I've got that postpartum fuzzy halo of hair that I'm not liking at all. So I have done Brazilian straightening as well.
What's the difference between Japanese and Brazilian?
Japanese is permanent. So it's sort of like a reverse perm.
Oh, interesting.
In the old days.
Yeah.
Which I never got one of those, but I'm sure there's someone who actually has been like certified and it's like, it's not at all like that, but it's a whole process, but they put chemicals on your hair and then they iron it so that it retains the shape of that they put into it. So like, I think at that point it's the same process as a perm. It's just they're straightening instead of putting curls in. So it's permanent. So it stays like that. Some people don't, I don't know how it works on colored hair. At this point, I do, cover my grays with a semi-permanent, but I don't have like super highlighted hair or anything.
Okay.
So, it might not work well on if you have like a lot of color in your hair. I think that's why people like Brazilian better. It also can get very flat and people prefer the volume that they have from Brazilian blowout. Brazilian blowout, like coach, they put a keratin coating on your hair and then they iron that and that slowly washes out.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you guys ever had either of those?
No.
No, but I think we have the opposite. My hair is very fine and very.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. There's not a lot of it. It's pretty flat. Yeah, Dory and I are united in hair similarness.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I'm also going through postpartum hair loss now. So it's like especially just like disastrous.
My bathroom is just a like coating of hair on the ground.
It's awful. Disgusting.
Yeah.
I hate it.
And in the shower, it's so gross. I don't want it to clog the drain. So I just like, I'm just constantly like setting it on the little bench in there. And I'm like, and then I don't remove it every time though. And I'm like, either I have the world's most tolerant husband or the most non-observant one, but either way,
right.
Yay.
Isn't hair, like hair in the shower, the weirdest thing, where when it comes from your own head or body, it doesn't, it's not gross.
Yeah.
But then when you see another, like if you're in a communal shower that like, and somebody else's hair clump is there, it's the grossest thing
yes.
you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Yeah. What is that?
I mean,
what is hair aversion?
I just remember being on the New York City subway and someone's long hair like brushing up against me and it being like feeling like it was the most disgusting thing that had ever happened to me.
On their head? Like it was just on their head and it touched
Yeah, them? Like they had long hair and maybe I was sitting, you know, sometimes the seats are sort of like back to back and I would like lean back and I would feel their hair on me. Yes, and Kate is making a vomiting face.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Because very it is intimate. Disgusting. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something like so gross
if I'm
about
in a
it.
Shower, like at the gym, and I see like the hair on the drain, I could like gag right now.
Okay, but this is actually a great segue into something we wanted to talk about, which is your JMO.
Oh, yeah.
segment on your podcast, which is Just Me or Everyone.
Yes.
Can you tell us how that started?
Yes. This is when I was living in New York and I did my show Alice from Rosen's Junior Best Friend as a live streaming show on Ustream, which is still around but not as popular. But it was, you know, like you could live stream and there's a chat room, you can interact. So I did it, I think it was on every Sunday for 3 hours, and it was like a talk show from my living room. And so I was trying to I wasn't trying to think of segments. It just popped into my head. I was around the time I was doing the show, I was walking around my apartment in Brooklyn, and I heard a fire truck go by and I thought, oh no, I hope it's not headed to my apartment. I hope my, and I like immediately imagined my apartment in flames because my straightening iron had, you know, caught fire or whatever. And then I realized every time I hear a fire truck go by, that is my, like instantly just my apartment in flames. Does everyone think this or am I crazy? Is it just me or is it everyone? So I emailed the people who were going to be on the show that night and I'm like, do you guys have, you know, have any? And I remember my friend Corinne, hers were that she puts, when she's on the subway, she puts her earbuds in, even though she's not listening to anything, so she can eavesdrop on people. And
I do that.
And, Jenna's was that she measures things in, subway $5 footlongs or whatever.
Oh,
so like, you know, like if she sees a necklace for $30, she's like, that's six sandwiches. And then it just kind of, it was so fun and it kind of caught on. So then we just yeah. started doing it. And for, I used to do it on every single show because people send, they tweet them
yeah.
in. I don't do it on every show anymore, but I do it frequently still. It is fun to see how many idiosyncrasies we all have.
Yeah. Like I feel like so many of them, a lot of other people have
yes.
them too. Can you remember some that like no one else had?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, recently someone wrote in and said that they think that the septum piercing is like the most unattractive of all piercings. And Jackie Johnson was on that episode and she came down hard on that because it was too judgmental.
Oh,
and
wow.
anyone
okay.
should pierce whatever they want. I'm trying to remember some that no one else has had. I know one that I don't have that a lot of people do. Anytime they're watching a movie and someone is underwater, the character's underwater, they will also hold their breath. I don't
oh,
do that.
Oh, I've never noticed that.
I haven't either.
I don't think I do that.
I don't think yeah. I do that either.
A lot of people count steps. Do you guys do that? I don't do that.
I feel like I used to count steps.
I've done it just to keep something going in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One that I do, that thing where you're in a restaurant and you figure out what you want to order and then you close the menu. So the server will come by. And then when they get there, you have to open it up again because you have like sudden amnesia or you just worry that you're going to say the wrong word or
yes.
say the wrong thing.
Or I also have like the last minute, like, is this what I really want? Let me just
yes.
scan the menu like one last time.
Yes.
Also, like what also like asking other people at your table what they're eating,
mm-hmm.
even if you're not at like a sharing place, like why do you need to know? And
I think
why
it's
is
just
it weird?
Conversation,
like,
right?
But like,
no,
it's not just conversation.
No, it's like, am I about to make the absolute wrong choice?
Yes.
Oh,
I
good
need to
point.
Check
good
in.
Yes, and also, I always feel weird if I'm ordering the same dish as someone.
I don't.
Even
I feel
though it's
like
who cares?
I know, I get it.
Confirmation that we're all that we're choosing correctly. However, I know so that's kind of a just mirror everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I know men who won't order the same thing as another guy at the table, and I don't understand that.
Oh,
like
boy.
What is that? Some food genetic
yeah,
diversity.
I don't know. I kind of have that, I feel like.
Why? Do you feel like you're copying them?
No, I think it's because I feel like I want to see like the range of things at the restaurant or something.
It feels boring if everyone's getting the same thing. Yeah. I get the same way. And if like my husband and I are out to dinner and we both decide to get the same thing, I will often change what I'm getting.
Yes. So even though my husband doesn't like to share. So it's not like if we get different things that we're going to be like going halvesies. Like he wants his meal. And like, I'm like, okay. So it actually behooves me to get the same thing.
But I get it. It's like a curiosity thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I find like the idea of discovering that you share these idiosyncrasies with other people is such a relief.
I think it really is.
Like I sleep with a baby blanket that I've had my entire life. And even as an adult, when I, like the first time I shared this with other adults, people acted like I was out of my mind. And I have since met many adults who do sleep with their baby blankets still. And I feel like it's a very common thing that doesn't say anything bad about us, baby blanket sleepers.
See, and I don't talk about it often, but next to me on my nightstand and occasionally in my bed is a koala bear that I've had since I was six. Now, the reason it's not in the bed with me all the time is because it's coming undone. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's, I don't know if it's just chance or on purpose, the stuffing is like crimson red.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
That's intense.
It's dark. And I'm just not great at sewing, so I haven't fixed it. And I'm afraid the bear's going to fall apart. But it is a comfort item. And I did bring it with me to the hospital when I had my second son.
Yeah.
I did not bring it with me the first time. And I really wasn't even going to. And then my mom suggested it. And I was like, that's silly, but not a bad idea.
That's a great idea. I bring my baby blanket when I travel.
Is it? What condition is it in?
It's in pretty good condition.
How?
Well, it's just the makeup of the blanket, which weirdly I discovered via an Instagram follow that Busy Phillips has one that looks almost exactly the same. It must, like, I wonder if as a baby.
And I think you and Busy are about the same age.
Yeah, I think we're both 40. Mm-hmm. Literally both born in July. I know too much about Busy Phillips. Hello.
I sleep with a teddy bear.
Yeah. I have a lot.
How do your spouses feel about this?
I mean, it's been accepted, but my husband, I don't like to wash the baby blanket because I want it to retain the like odor that it, and I need to sleep with it like under my cheek so I can inhale it. And I think he's grossed out by it, but has accepted it as part of being married to me.
Matt, I think, has accepted Teddy as like part of the family.
Teddy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so you're in bed, your husband's in bed. Where's Teddy in bed with you guys?
Teddy usually just like lives kind of in between us, but then I snuggle with him.
I feel so, I'm so glad we're talking about this. I feel so much better because like I said, I'm not really that open about the koala situation.
Right. Well, yeah. I feel like Teddy came up maybe on the podcast I do with Matt. He came up somewhere and I heard from maybe on Instagram. Did we ask about this? I don't remember. I heard from so many people who still sleep with their stuffed animals.
Oh, good.
And I had the same, cause I had not talked about this for quite some time.
Yeah.
Because it feels like weird, you know, I'm a grown ass woman.
I feel like I shouldn't, my feeling is like I shouldn't need to have a little bear tucked under my arm.
Can you also imagine, like my kids each have special animals and special blankets, like the thought of making them not have them anymore, like I think a comfort item, like having a thing that soothes us or self-soothes us, like that sounds like a good practice.
Yeah.
And I think it's strange that we expect adults not to have objects or items that provide comfort or soothing.
Yes, Kate.
Like just that seems so dated to me to be like, you got to get rid of your thing. You're a big kid now, or you're a big girl, whatever the fuck. I just, no, I'm 40. I sleep with my baby blanket. My baby blanket's name is Mimi.
Oh, it has a name.
It has a name. Its name is Mimi. I don't know its gender identity. I think it's kind of a female baby blanket, but I don't totally know.
Teddy is a boy.
Koala, I think, is a girl.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
animals and baby blankets.
Glad we had this chat.
Gender spectrum.
Allison, I feel like we could talk to you for hours.
Thank you.
But
I could talk to you guys for hours.
I know. Sadly, our time has come to an end. Where can people find you?
At AllisonRosen.com.
And that's Allison with one L.
Yes. And on Twitter and Instagram at Allison Rosen. And Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend. Just search for that wherever you listen to podcasts. And Childish, same. wherever you listen to podcasts.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
So I hope Allison and I can start this hashtag old moms group.
I think it's honestly a great idea.
I do too.
And I think the same would go for younger parents.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
There is generational and age differences, and yes, it can be isolating to be the oldest or the youngest or the middlest.
Yes.
But I love it. Old moms.
Old moms. So Kate, mm-hmm, you wanted to spend some time connecting with nature, even if it was just in your backyard last week. How did that go?
Pretty good. I did. Well, you and I, like we've mentioned, were away on this retreat. It was in the mountains up here in California, so it was beautiful. I tried to spend time outside. I did yoga outside. I went for walks. I climbed a tree into a tree house. So I feel pretty good about it. It was really refreshing and beautiful, and I need to keep kind of making time for it at home. I like being outdoors.
Yeah, it's nice.
And we're lucky we have access to such beautiful places here in California. I mean, totally. That is truly, truly a plus.
It is a gift.
Yeah.
What about this week? What do you have going on?
Well, here's a thing that's on my brain. Revisiting the power of to-do lists.
Oh, this has been an ongoing thing for you.
I've never mastered it. I feel like with our podcast, a lot of these intentions that we've talked about have become real practices, and I feel better for it.
Yeah, same.
To-do lists is not one of them. To-do lists are not one of them, either way. Mm-hmm. And then I had this inkling, which mm-hmm is, should I explore the Getting Things Done program, GTD?
Oh.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I have a lot of friends who have gone through phases of swearing by this program. It's like a whole system of organizing yourself and getting stuff done. Hence the name, Getting Things Done. So I don't know. I just need to do more thinking. I have Todoist, which is an app. I like it, but I'm not great about using it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just still don't feel like I have everything in one place. And mm-hmm I just feel kind of like scatterbrained. So that's it.
Okay.
And if anyone does GTD, any listeners out there, I would love your thoughts.
Yeah. Let us know.
How about you? Did you reflect on the meaning and significance of Yom Kippur?
I did. I had a really nice and meaningful Yom Kippur experience.
Tell us more.
Well, I went to synagogue with a friend. We went to Kol Nidre, which is the service at the beginning of Yom Kippur. Mm. So it starts at sunset, you know, the night before. And I really always love Kol Nidre. It's a really like lovely service. And then the next morning, I went to Yom Kippur services with the same friend again. And it was just really nice. There were a lot of people there. Just felt really like communal and lovely. And it was a nice way to like start the new year.
That is awesome.
Thank you. And this week, I want to get back into fiction, between like contemporary fiction, between just reading like mysteries. And I've been reading a lot of nonfiction lately, which is great. But I feel like I haven't dug into a great contemporary fiction book in a while.
I see. So just saying pause to like the Maisie Dobbs of the world.
Yes.
And
yes,
digging back into other stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have a book that you are picking up?
Well, my book club is reading Washington Black.
I don't know that book.
Which got rave reviews when it came out last year, and I'm really excited to read it. So, and I have a copy. That I just never got around to reading. So I'm going to dig into that. I'm excited about it.
I'm currently reading Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh, yes. The Reese Witherspoon
book. The book that everyone has read but me. And then my next book on my list is My Sister, the Serial Killer.
Oh, yeah. I started that and then didn't finish it, but I would like to get back to it. And I've also, I took The Most Fun We Ever Had out of the library, which is a newish book by a woman named Claire Lombardo that people have really loved. So I'm excited to start that book too.
Forever 35.
Yep.
Always reading.
Always reading. Well, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for listening. A reminder that you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 781-591-0390, or you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Or you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. The password is serums.
And if you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please do tell a friend or mention us on social media.
And please, a friendly reminder that Okay. I mean, I'm just having good manners today. All the products mentioned on Forever 35 can be found on our website, which is forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And Lane Hammer is our assistant. Bye.